We are not lost. We have a sense of direction, and it's here. And if we connect the here with the here, the heart with the mind, we will know where to go.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the You Versus You podcast, where I talk with members of the Council for Human Development about how we can expand our minds and recode reality. Today, I'm here with Laura and Anna, two trainers from the Council, and we're going to talk about how we can co-create a better world. So Anna, I'm curious, like, why do you think it's so important to work together and one can't work alone to make a world a better place?
Well, thank you very much, Agnes, for that question and also for the opportunity to be here today. I think when we go back to our childhood, when we are trying out things, we always asked other people, you know, for their experience and for their idea. But when we grow up, we become those people who always try to fight their way, especially due to school, when, you know, there's the competition starts and you always get kind of compared to other people, what they're doing, if they're better or if they're not better, and if you can be better. So with that competition, you kind of get into that position where you feel like you have to fight your way by yourself. But it's like, if it's kind of like when you're only looking through your glasses and you can only see one view. The moment you can, you know, like basically when you're standing on a terrace and you're looking down on the streets or on a lake or whatever, you have your perspective. But all the other people who would stand next to you, they have a different perspective and you can see more things. And it's kind of the same when you start co-creating with other people. Everyone has other ideas. Everyone sees other things. And it's the combination of all those that makes it bigger and also support the good cause.
And don't you think that some people have just like a very special perspective, as we also see with, you know, entrepreneurs like Elon Musk, for example, where he, you know, has a big vision and is able to basically take everyone on board. So why do you still think, you know, we need to be in a collective, or how do you see that?
I guess everyone has a special perspective, but that's also what makes it unique at one point, but also something bigger when you get other perspectives on it. Because it's, I just read something the other day, I can't remember who said it, but I saw it many times that especially famous people say they would not be there if there wouldn't have been other people, not just supporters, but also, you know, there's one side where you have people who care about you and who support you, but it's also those people who help you with your vision. And I'm sure even Elon Musk would be able to name at least two or three people who helped him on his way. And it's about those people who help you on your way, but you're also helping them at the same time. And that's what co-creation is.
So why did you personally decide that this is something that's important?
To co-create, you mean?
Yes.
Or to work with other people?
To work with other people on, you know, creating a better world.
I think it's because I, like many people out there probably, I saw both sides in my past. I know the side when you work with people and also when you're kind of stuck alone or people just give you something and they want you to do it. And it's way more fun to work with other people and to get more ideas. And it's also, at least for me, and I think for many people out there too, it's way more productive and it gets you further than when you're just by yourself.
And Laura, what about you? Like, what are your thoughts? What do you think is currently wrong with our thinking that we need to change in order to have a better world?
Thanks, Agnes. Well, apart from that, what Anna said, what is currently wrong, what we have to change, everything. We have to stop thinking in the old ways. We have to stop searching for a way out of our current situation by using an old approach. We have to stop thinking we have to achieve something for ourselves. We have to stop to think that there is a way that will help us on our own, because there's not. The only way that will help us all together is something that we co-create, that we do together. And this is a very different kind of thinking. It's not the what can I do, but what can we do together by each of us using our unique and special ways and talents, or whatever you want to call it. Different skills brought together can create more than the individual. The sum is always greater. And it's been said many times before, but, you know, to actually bring it into action, to implement it, is something very different. And this is what we are promoting with the Co-Create movement by the Council for Human Development, is that we really want to encourage people to not only, you know, think within their own small sphere and realms, but to take another step out of it and say, hey, it doesn't matter whether we know those people. It doesn't matter whether we're in a completely different part of the world. What matters is that there's a certain vision, that there's a drive, that the old ways need to die, and there is no curing them. There is no cure to our action, to this pandemic. There is none. There is a new world to be rebuilt, and it takes all of us to do it, because none of us can do it alone. And this is why we emphasize and really want to encourage people to join us in co-creating this new world. Where does it start, you could ask? It starts with just, you know, implementing this one thought into action by being part of what we do, by talking to each other. It's not sitting there and, you know, going on the internet and looking, but this group does this, this group does this. There are 1,000 movements. But what we want to do is to get you talking, to speak with you, to hear your ideas and bring them on the table and bring them together and then pass them on to someone else. Because this is how you really create, by enabling someone else to create themselves.
So you mentioned that the old ways, you know, need to go. Can you be a little bit more specific on what ways you especially mean?
Sure. It means, to me personally, I mean, as Anna pointed out very correctly, everyone has their very own perspective on seeing things, on describing a way or a pattern. But so we all of us have our own patterns or own, you know, ways of thinking. And when I mean the old ways have to die, it means it's kind of, you have to erase the table in front of you. It needs to be blank. Yeah. And how could you do it? I mean, you just let go. And you, when you try to do something, no matter what it is, one approach could be to do it the complete different way than you would have done it before, because that makes sure it's not in the old ways. You could argue, well, there's many things that went pretty well for me when I did it the way I did it before, so why should I change it? It really depends here with which intention you do what you do. So if you ditch things in the us mentality, and, you know, not only for yourself, but to create something bigger. And this could also mean that you bring joy to yourself, thereby being able to bring joy to others. So it's not like a total altruistic perspective in terms of, oh no, I'm not worth anything, so I'm doing everything for all the others. This is not what I mean, not what I'm talking about. It is essential that you yourself are in the right frequency to be able to help others co-create. But to lift yourself in that frequency, you have to accept that everything that has been, that means it's over. And you can restart your life every second. You can push the button right now. And what that means to you personally, I don't know. It means something different to every person in the world. It could mean to let go of a not very good relationship, to finally move out of your home, to maybe move into a completely different part of the world, to kiss a person you've always wanted to kiss, to write a letter you always wanted to write, to sing a song that you never thought you could sing by just doing it. Yeah. So it could be anything.
So Anna, for example, what is your vision of a better future?
Well, I think one of the things that probably everyone noticed this year was that quite a lot of things changed kind of all of a sudden. Like when we look back a year ago, no one would have expected that 2020 would be a year like this. And then all of a sudden COVID happened, the government take over, they tell you what to do and what you're not allowed to do. And all of a sudden everyone had to adapt. And most human beings are not really able to adapt very well anymore. Especially when they get to a certain age where they just settle. They have their apartment, they have their house, they have their relationships, kids, favorite places to travel, but they are always in this comfort zone. and it's very hard to get out of it. I mean, we've all been there many times, and of course it's nice, you enjoy it. But it is these little moments when you get out of your comfort zone where it's, yes, it is uncomfortable, but then you also, you see many things in a different way. And like this year, for example, when everyone was all of a sudden faced with COVID and people all of a sudden had to work from home, they started thinking about their work environment quite differently. Like all of a sudden, maybe like coworkers weren't that annoying anymore, or you actually like maybe you enjoyed more working at home or the freedom to be, you know, around your kids or not. And I think it would be really, really great for the world and also for humankind to seize the chance of really, you know, going through life and change as much as you can and experience as much as you can and not just be stuck in your little world. And when we talk about co-creating a better world, it is about like getting the visions from other people to also change some perspectives in your life and not just being stuck in your bubble, making sure you don't have to go to the edge of it. And I think this would really give everyone a chance to create a better world. Also just by, you know, understanding other people or trying to put yourself in someone else's shoes instead of just blaming other people for their opinion. Because like very often, you know people or you have friends or coworkers, and the moment you don't adjust to their opinion anymore, they're creating that distance just because it's challenging them, but it's also because, you know, everyone is on their island of certainty. And with co-creating a better world and with working together and exchanging different opinions, you cannot just expand your mind, but you can also influence people to expand your mind. And this will definitely get the world to a higher frequency and a better place for everyone.
Laura, would you like to add anything to that when it comes to your vision of the future and what really needs to change?
Well, Anna summed it up very well. The only thing I would like to add is that my vision has already begun to manifest itself by talking to you about it. And this is what I would like to invite everyone to consider, that their vision of their future starts now in the very, very, very second they consider it to be a reality. And this is when true co-creation of this world, you know, it already has started. We are already in the future as we're speaking. And my personal vision is that that I can see it manifest all over the places. But I'm very confident it has already started.
So what are the small steps that someone can take to start implementing changes and having an us mentality?
The small steps is it's what I said before. You just do it differently. That's an easy route. You know, sometimes it might be a bit too much to just think about how to do it right differently, because there is no how to do it right differently. It's just the difference makes it right because it makes it a change. And you will find out where it leads you. You will find out what leads you there. And we've talked about this before, Agnes, in one of our previous podcasts, and it's something I would like to re-engage here. It's we are not lost. We have a sense of direction, and it's here. And if we connect the here with the here, the heart with the mind, we will know where to go. And you can try it out. You can try out your intuition, and you will see where you feel something, where you might feel weird or better. And I encourage you to go where you feel better. So use the joy. Someone once said to me, let joy be your highest leader, your highest guide. And this is very important because joy has the highest frequency. Yeah. So if we are always led by a high frequency, as high as possible, we always aspire into a higher frequency, thereby already doing it. And this is what lies in our heart. If we are connected and if we follow this intuition, change comes automatically into the right way. But when we try to overthink it, as in, okay, I really want to change something now. What can I change? Ooh, ooh, ooh. And you go like, but you're not really getting anywhere. And it's all brain, and it's not, the heart is not involved. And so your intuition is basically sitting on your shoulder going, Interesting. Nope. Maybe you want to listen to me. Yep. And then it's very easy. And you just try out what you, you know, a different thing, and you'll feel whether it's right or not.
Can you give us an example where you really followed your intuition and, you know, how you experienced that? Like the thoughts of your head, basically, and the feelings of your heart?
Yeah, I can give you an example where I did not listen to that. So I made an investment last year, and I knew I knew with everything, get out of it in March. You have to get out in March, latest April. In May, it's over. And I was like, yeah, I should listen to this. Definitely. But, you know, things went well. And I'm like, wow. So many things happened. The council happened. So it was May when I got a letter. Not such a good one. Informed me about a certain thing that happened in that company. Well, let me say it this way. If I had listened to my intuition, I would be in a much better position right now.
Okay, thanks so much for sharing that. And Anna, do you also have maybe an example about following your intuition?
Yeah, I guess it's also just like Laura's example right now. It's more the examples where you did not follow your intuition, and afterwards you're just like, I knew it. I should have listened to it. And now that's the lesson you learn. And it's interesting because, I mean, you can go out on the streets and talk to people, and they all had those moments where they or their stories they can tell you about when they thought they should do something, or they had a feeling they should do something or not do something, and they decided for the other road. And then, you know, looking back, of course, one is always wiser, but yeah, it is. Everyone has this little voice, and it's just about also listening to it. And, you know, sometimes also just to not take things too serious. And I mean, for me, I almost think it's very important, or for me, it was always very important, or the best teachers were actually kids, because they don't take things too serious. And it's interesting to watch them or to listen to them, because yeah, you can learn a lot from them, because they're not so very much in their head. They're more in their heart or all over the place, but they're not thinking things through. And I know some grown-ups might argue that they are just not educated well enough. But what does education really mean? If you feel something and you know that your intuition will be right on it, and they just do.
Do you want to add something to that still, Laura?
No, basically, you know, intuition works in the greater picture. It's sometimes the little things, the little ticks it gives you to go into the right direction. Even if it's just, you know, you have the feeling you're at a traffic light and something in you just says, turn right, not left today. And I just follow those feelings. And it was incredible. I found, like, whether it was just a nice store that sold something very particular that I then immediately knew I would want to give to a certain person, or that had a sentence written on the door that changed my entire day. And by that sentence having changed my thinking on that very day, my actions changed on the following day. And the whole chain of action brought me where I'm sitting here. Yeah. So very easy example where this was very clear for me. When I visited Zurich the first time to meet the people of the council, I walked past by a little sign that says, this is the place you need to live. It just said it was an advertisement for something, but it was like, it was highlighted just for me personally. And it was like, bam. And I knew this was a sign that said, yes, it's the right thing to do. Yeah. And those little things, they can mean a change in your life to the greater good. But it's the little things it starts with. And this is why it's so important to be aware. Yeah, to be aware that there is more, and that there is a lot more that you might not know, because you can You cannot expect the unexpected. And it is the unexpected that will change everything.
And why do you think we need change so urgently right now?
Do you need an answer to this question? I'll try. We need change because it's due. It's due. People are ready for it. The old ways are not working anymore. We can see this not only in the systems, we can see it with people. People's minds are full of toxic stress. Their bodies are sick. We have an incredible number of unhealthy ways of living. And I'm not only talking physically here, it's also psychologically. We are as far away as we could potentially be from our true potential. And this is not what we're here for. We're here to use it. We're here to explore it. But sometimes things need to get very dark and very shitty, to put it this way, before we realize that we're up in it until here. And we are at this point now. And this is why change is needed, because otherwise we're going to just suffocate in the shit.
And Anna, I'm also wondering, like, what's your favorite initiative of the council?
Okay, so one of my favorites is definitely the non-combative argument. I know, Agnes, you took part in those before. It's basically where you just come up with an opinion of a person or just general opinion. And the group of people is divided in two parts. One is going for the argument and the other one is against it. And well, people just have to change their opinion. So for example, the other day we've been arguing about whether there should be a death penalty or not. And the first, your first position might be you have to go for it, but then you're also changing sides and you have to argue against it. And it really opened your mind and everyone else's. And it's not only just for the moment, but you keep thinking about it. And it's also that you take it into your daily life. When you start having an opinion, you think about it twice. Where you really have that opinion, is it really yours? Or are you just basically copying someone else? And that is definitely one of my favorite things. We do that twice a week with the Council for Human Development. We also do that sometimes in the trainings that we give on the free workshops. And it's super interesting just to notice how people cope with the situation, but also to see how it really opens their brains.
And how has seeing that different perspective benefited you personally in your daily life and in your perspective?
The good and also annoying part of it is that you really start to listen very deeply on what people say, and also start questioning the meaning behind it more. And that also refers to one of the things Laura just said: the world is very negative, not just since COVID, but also before. If you listen to people, it's always they're coming up with so many rules in their heads. I have to do this, I have to do that. And if you simply ask them, why do you have to go home now? Then, you know, they get confused. Some of them even get angry. But it definitely opened up myself. And you also influence the other people with it, because they start thinking about it too. And just to really start thinking, use the brain that you have, other than just, you know, going along with everything and putting rules on yourself. That's the important thing. And that's also the thing that really hooked me with it.
Laura, would you like to add something to that?
Anna's put it to the point. I mean, we have such a negative polarity in this world right now. And, you know, two times negative gives you a plus. So we're up for the plus. And if anyone else out there is up for the plus too, well, you should definitely check out the Council for Human Development and our Co-Create a Better World movement. And it would be fantastic to see as many of you as possible, because only together we can create the new. And well, I'm sure there's at least something in the old that you really want to let go.
If you want to find out more, make sure to check out councilforhumandevelopment.org and please share the podcast with your friends on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter with the hashtag Council for Human Development.